Blog Talk Radio.
And good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to an impromptu show of the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Kel Fritzy. I want to commemorate a very important day, that is the death of Netta. Netta died on June 20th, 2009. She was 26 years old. She died in Iran during a protest. But I want to talk about the impact it has left on her fiancé, Caspian Macon. Caspian Macon, he cannot believe it, and he still thinks that he will see Netta again. Netta Aga Sultan, killed on camera by a sniper's bullet. She became the symbol of opposition to Iranian President Ahmadinejad in that summer of 2009. Her fiancé, Caspian Macon, who had just fled the country, he talked to a reporter about their romance, his imprisonment after her death, and his terrifying escape. Caspian Macon had been run over by the blind, careening juggernaut of history. His girlfriend had been killed on the streets of Tehran, one of some 80 deaths reliably reported during the tumultuous demonstrations that followed the disputed presidential elections. Most victims' relatives and friends had grieved in private, but Netta died live on a phone camera and almost unbearable 90-second sequence that turned her into an icon. Uploaded on the internet within hours, her face became the face of protest. But symbols destroy lives. In the days and weeks that followed, Caspian had not only lost the woman he was planning to marry, but also his country, his family, his friends, and his career. anyone and everyone who had anything to do with Netta's death are now toxic to the Iranian government. Members of her family have been bullied, threatened, and even detained. The doctor who is caught on camera trying to save her life is now exiled in Britain. The music teacher who was with her when she died has been rolled out on Iranian television, patently required to deny what he saw, that Netta was shot by a member of the religious militia. And Caspian disappeared. In the days after her killing, he spoke out on foreign satellite stations and then vanished. Finally, it was confirmed he was at the notorious Evin prison in Tehran, the frightening symbol of the Shah's oppressive regime, smoothly transferred into the hands of the Islamic Republic secret police. He was held for more than 2 months, some of that time in solitary confinement. In September, he was released on bail pending trial, perhaps being prepared for one of the extraordinary show trials that had been broadcast on Iranian TV over the past months, in which leading supporters of the opposition had been obliged to recant their actions. Urged on by family and friends, Caspian decided he had to escape. Days later, he met with reporters. He was in hiding. He did not know. He did not want people to know where he was, because there was a tangible fear of the reach of the secret police in the Iranian exile community. His temporary home was an empty flat in an anonymous block on the suburbs of a Middle Eastern city he does not even know. He did not look like someone who had just spent 5 traumatic days escaping his homeland, 8 hours of it across foot through remote mountains. Caspian is a trim and elegant man. He has a gentle smile. He meets the reporters and he offers tea. He would offer a chair, but there is not one in the flat he is staying. His attempts at pleasantries, they do not last long, because the deep dark circles etched underneath betray him. The whirlwinds have consumed everything except the few belongings he could smuggle out of the country. Not the least, a small computer drive. He fires it up, and there are his photos of Netta, the beautiful smile that had circled the globe, suddenly becomes his private image of love again. Here is the man she was smiling for. He touches her face on the screen. Their story begins as a classic holiday romance. They were on the same tour group to Turkey in April of 2009. He talks of Netta as a bright woman, frustrated with life. Turkey is a tantalizing place for young Iranians, one of the few places Iranians can visit without a visa. It is a Muslim country, but a secular state. There are no headscarves in Caspian's photos of Netta on the holiday. Caspian's voice drops to a whisper as he remembers their first holiday conversation. She was religious and had studied theology and Islamic philosophy at university in Tehran. She'd only been there for 3 terms when she realized she did not recognize her God in what was being taught. She had married quite young and divorced, which now made getting a job difficult. But she loved traveling and was trying to get a job as a guide in Turkey. Caspian told her of his life as a professional photographer, that he was also divorced, but they agreed they would not talk about previous relationships because they were starting again. Netta and Caspian they were not interested in a casual relationship. They were very seriously committed to each other from the beginning. For 10 or 12 days afterwards, we didn't see each other and we had no contact because we wanted to work out how we really felt about each other. We chose a day to meet and agreed that on that day we would decide if we really wanted to be together. I knew I wanted to be with her, and when she arrived, I knew she felt the same way. I was so happy. Although they were not formally engaged yet, there was the plan that they would return back to Turkey together, Istanbul, for the last week in June. The private plans of a private couple. But by then, Netta was dead, and Caspian was in prison. What came in between were the presidential elections in June of 2009. Neither Caspian nor Netta were very political. All their adult lives, the elections had been carefully approved with a range of candidates who were carefully approved. Previous dreams of reform had curdled on the realities of a political system dominated by a religious elite. Now it was a face-off between President Ahmadinejad and former hardline Prime Minister Mir Hussein Mousavi. Neither Caspian nor Netta intended to vote. Then, about a month before the election, something changed. Perhaps it was the televised debates between the candidates that were broadcast in the 10 days leading up to the election day. Ahmadinejad, a far more charismatic speaker in public, came across as both aggressive and defensive on the small screen. Unlike the soporific staged affairs of U.S. elections, this was clearly deeply personal. Ahmadinejad attacked Mousavi for allowing his wife to be seen with him in public. Highlights were uploaded to YouTube. Iranians replayed Mousavi's retort. This man looks straight into the camera and lies. Whatever the reason, Mousavi, who is no liberal, suddenly acquired a broad appeal. As a friend of Caspian's, who had also had to escape into exile, told the reporters, "I used to think that not voting was a no to the system. This time I felt it was different. I was encouraging everyone to vote. We just mustn't let Ahmadinejad and his administration back in with its repression. It wasn't a vote to support any candidate. It was a protest vote." The Green Movement was born in those days before the election, and the streets took on a carnival atmosphere. Netta was infected by the excitement. Caspian, however, was not. "I used to tell her, 'You're no fan of Mousavi.' She said, 'You're right, I am not. But I like his followers. They are asking for their rights. It's not just about one man.' It is impossible to say what the election result really was. Certainly the Ahmadinejad victory was announced with unusual haste. Also certain is that hundreds of thousands of Iranians felt they had been cheated. And when they took to the streets, they were met by a force assembled from Iran's various security services, uniformed robocops with batons, riot police, revolutionary guards, and most dangerous of all, the religious militia, Basiji, sometimes in plain clothes. The result, for a few deadly days, with street war. The protesters were unarmed, except for stones they picked up off the streets and camera phones. As we have tried to piece together what happened over those days, we have assembled an astonishing mosaic of images. Controversial events are covered, not by one camera, but by 10. Plainclothes police shooting from rooftops are seen from multiple angles, often accompanied by a commentary of shock and outrage. That was citizen journalism, uploaded onto the web for all to view. Some of the images are impossible to source, but as raw data of record, they make the task of silent repression almost impossible. Never again will the events of a Tiananmen Square go virtually unrecorded on film. Nada's death was also part of one of the sequences. Caspian's voice is strong when he talks about the elections and when he talks about politics, but now it drops to a whisper. She joined the protesters from the beginning. She was very brave and strong. That worried me, to be honest. I didn't want her to get hurt. I asked her to stop going to the protest. I thought she might get arrested or something else might happen to her, but she was only thinking of her goal, democracy and freedom for Iranians. Neda attended virtually every demonstration, some with her mother, some even with Caspian. Caspian falls deep within himself as he remembers how beautifully she used to explain that everyone should be there, and they would quarrel about it. She said, "You support me in everything I do. Why not this?" Caspian said, "You don't understand these people. What happens if they catch you?" She replied, "It's not important, Caspian. It's my duty." "Caspian, let me tell you the truth. I think that under the circumstances we now have, we're all responsible. Even if we'd had a child, I'd carry my child to these demos on my back." That's when Caspian realized he could never prevent her from going to the demonstrations. On the day of her death, Caspian was out with his camera in another part of the city. He was taking pictures of the protests and the protesters that day. It was 6 to 7 in the evening when he started seeing people get shot and injured. I thought of Neda a lot. I was very worried for her. I wanted to call her, but the mobile phone system had been disconnected and I couldn't contact her at all. Around 6 in the evening, Caspian's mobile rang. It was Neda's mother. She said, "Caspian, Neda is gone." I didn't understand what she meant. I couldn't believe what she was telling me. By then, the world was beginning to take in the images of her collapsing to the ground, blood coming out of her chest, supported by two men. The last shot, most bare to watch, shows her face, beautiful and pale, before blood spills across it, with desperate voices pleading with her, "My child, Neda, stay with us." Neda's last words were, "I'm burning, I'm burning." Neda died June 20th, 2009, fighting for the rights and the freedoms of the Iranian people. She knew the election of Ahmadinejad was a fraud, people. It was a fraud. She knew it. Caspian knew it. The people knew it. They were trying to stand up and do something about it. Neda was shot in the heart. She died almost instantly. I just wanted to do this show to honor her memory. Neda is the voice of freedom. Neda is who I admire deeply. I admire Caspian Macon deeply. I'm going to let Caspian take over from here.
I'm a soldier of Persia. I'm one of the thousands of Africans beneath my sacred soil. Kindness is my character. Learning is my occupation. I wanted to be a mother. So when I gave birth, rather than sacrifice a life, a tree I'd plant into my child. Instead of imposed religion, I teach wisdom. However, in the yearning for a homeland in pursuit of liberation, a loud cry had been encaged in my gullet. And so protecting my homeland over my dreams I favored. Thus I became your confederate and our paths merged. Do you recollect me still? When amongst you, the metal bullet of Bruce took aim of my heart and drowned my countenance in blood. That moment I concealed the pain lest my observers out of fright leave the battleground to the enemy. I embraced death so liberty's seeds live forever. And through ending sight, I fixated on your footsteps. In a passing twilight, you were allies and compatriots, hand in hand, with one voice in the same breath. But in a moment of negligence, with great deception and silence, breaking your chrism ties, through promises of February and December, they rendered your homeland. Their method is chicanery. You're wrong in faith. Do you remember the wail of my mother? The lamentations of my sister, the suffering of my lover, weeping friends, the globe's grief? Did you not see the tear of Alistair, the death of Kevin, tombs of the unknown, youngsters in prison, the bloody skulls of Shabnan and Shahram? What about thousands of scrawny bodies? Did you read Farzad's message? Did you hear my outcry, the echo of my existence? Our motherland has tired. The moment for liberation has passed by. Rise and return to motherland. For the tooth and claw of demons. Drive away the enemy from every corner and alley. تحریم انتخابات
boycott these elections no to the Islamic regime the echo of my existence my name is Netta and I have a voice Leave the message Ebola in my heart. Fall to prayer in my blood. And hush, Father, I am not dead. More lights than mass, I flood through you. Breathe with your eyes. Stand in your shoes on the rooftops, in the streets, march with you. In the cities and villages of our country, shouting through you, with you. I am Netta, thunder on your tongue. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me for a very special edition of the Red Fox Blogger, as I honor Netta, who died June 20th, 2009. Thank you. Goodbye.